MatchFit USA.
MatchFit USA.
Examining the state of American soccer.
Examining the state of American soccer.
Welcome to the MatchFit USA podcast. Here is your host, Jason Davis.
Welcome. This is MatchFit USA podcast number one. As the fake announcer guy said, my name is Jason Davis. I'm the purveyor of MatchFit USA, an American soccer blog examining the state of the game in this country. That means various things. It means whatever pops into my head, but mainly I've been trying to take a look at American attitudes towards the game, why the game is having such a struggle to break into the general American sports culture as it currently exists in this country. We have so many options when it comes to sports in the United States, so many more options than most cultures around the world have, that it makes it difficult for soccer to get a foothold, as it were. There are plenty of people out there, soccer haters, Euro snobs, that are helping keep this game down. I've been trying to examine all of those people and how they are hurting the game, and what MLS specifically, but soccer, the soccer organizations in this country as a whole can do to help break that attitude towards soccer, so that the game can grow. I love the game. I suddenly became passionate about the game a couple of years ago. I'm not even sure why it happened, how it happened. All I know is I started watching, I became hooked, and now it's pretty much all I do. Work, write about soccer, and now I'm blogging about soccer. Isn't that amazing? So be careful. If you start a soccer blog, you're going to get hooked very quickly. The first thing I want to do today on the first podcast is to go ahead and look at some headlines that affect American soccer. So number one is the USA-Mexico match that just happened on Wednesday. Fantastic result for the United States, 2-0 over Mexico. Basically what a lot of American fans were expecting, because that's what we always beat Mexico by, at least in Columbus. The wind played a major factor. I'm just going to give you a couple of thoughts on the game. I don't want to go in depth. I'm no expert in terms of the play, in terms of who did what and how they did it. But I did want to mention that I think it's fantastic the way that Columbus has hosted these games. There are only a couple places in the country, in this country, that can do that. I hope it becomes more places. I hope there are more towns and stadiums that can sell out as quickly as Columbus did. I know that a lot of people traveled all from all around the country, and I think they mentioned Canada on the broadcast to see the game in person in Columbus. I wish I had been there. I'm not to the point yet. MatchFit USA isn't pulling in any dollars for me. I'm not to the point yet where I can afford to go to Columbus or anywhere for that matter to watch a United States game. I might try to make it to RFK. I know there's a qualifier coming up later on this year at RFK Stadium, and as a D.C. Metro resident myself, it's possible I can make it to that game. If any of you out there listening to this have hookups, just let me know. Send me an email. Anyway, address of the blog, I'm not sure if I've mentioned it already, and I guess it's possible that some people may come across the blog, the podcast, excuse me, and have not seen the blog, is matchfitusa.blogspot.com. The other headlines, obviously, I wanted to touch on is the Beckham mess. It's become a mess, beyond a mess, and it's affecting everything that's going on in this country with MLS and our focus on soccer. It's reached the point now where it's in the mainstream media to a certain extent, in a way that any American product can't seem to get attention. There's no coverage on ESPN.com of anything that's related to soccer unless it's David Beckham. So the current situation, as I understand it, is that there's still a holding pattern. He played today. He played in the Milan Derby. I believe he pulled a hamstring. I'm not sure how that's going to affect the transfer. We'll have to see how that plays out. But before the Derby, the most recent news was the passing of the deadline on Friday night, and the deadline set by Don Garber the commissioner of MLS, saying that if a deal wasn't done, that the whole situation was going to have to be closed, that the league would need to move on, and specifically the Galaxy would need to move on. Garber saying that it's not fair for Milan to be kind of holding the Galaxy hostage on this situation, especially because the Galaxy had already rejected one offer and had yet to receive another one by the deadline. Milan's opinion on the matter is that this is a negotiating tactic on the part of both MLS and the Galaxy. They've basically laughed it off is the impression that I get. And I expect them to continue to attempt to obtain Beckham by any means necessary. And, you know, they'll come up with a dollar amount that they'll expect the Galaxy to accept. And then we'll have to see if the Galaxy do, in fact, go ahead and take them up on that offer. I think a lot of people are of the opinion that eventually the deal would get done, no matter what the Galaxy and Garber have said all to this point. Now, the question now, if Beckham does leave, and this is a what-if situation, because there's still a chance that he could come back. If he leaves, the question becomes, what kind of effect do you have on American soccer? Did he fulfill the promise that was made when he was signed 2.5 years ago, or whatever it is at this point? I'm of the opinion that he did do his job. In fact, David Beckham coming to the United States may have been the reason that I picked up soccer in the first place. I don't know that I specifically wanted to follow David Beckham, but the thought that the MLS was taking the steps to bring a player like Beckham, who I didn't really know, understand at the time what he was capable of and what kind of player he was. I just knew the name. The fact that they decided to bring him in was obviously something that would draw a lot of casual fans to the sport. It may have driven, may have drawn me. I really honestly don't know if that's the case. I want to say that it is, though, so we'll give Beckham that much credit. I think there's a lot of people that probably picked up soccer because of Beckham. Maybe not MLS. Maybe they became interested in something else. Maybe they became Euro snobs. And if you've read the blog, you know my feelings on Euro snobs. And I make it clear here, because I know that the word has been thrown around other places. I did not coin the phrase, that I don't claim to have any ownership over it, but I will say that for the purposes of MatchFit USA, a Euro snob is an American. And what I mean is that a Euro snob is an American who has turned their back on the American game. They have turned their back on MLS. It's possible they've turned their back on the national team, although that doesn't necessarily follow. There are plenty of people that don't follow MLS that still root for the national team, and they're a slightly less evil form of Euro snob. But the biggest Euro snobs are the Americans that choose not to follow the American product because it's of lesser quality than all of the European leagues, all of the big three, if you want to say that, EPL, La Liga, and Serie A. And there's no doubting that the quality isn't the same. I don't think that any fan of MLS would begin to tell you that players and teams and in MLS would be able to compete with any of the teams in those three leagues. That's really not the issue. The issue is that if we want the game to grow here, if we want it to be exposed, if we want to have more opportunity to see the game, to follow the game, to be passionate about the game, I really do think we need to support the domestic league. That doesn't mean you can't follow those other leagues. That doesn't mean you can't get up early on a Saturday morning to watch EPL matches. It just means watch some MLS games. Go to an MLS game every now and then. If you don't want to do that, like I said, it doesn't cost anything to watch an MLS game on ESPN whenever they're showing it now. It's important for Americans to support the game here. 300 million people live in this country, and plenty of them are soccer fans, but the ratings for TV matches, MLS matches, don't show it, because a lot of those soccer fans aren't watching MLS games. They've turned their nose up at MLS games. So that's my little Euro snob rant. If you read the blog for a long time, you've probably seen my Euro snob rant. I may go back into that, because I think that original rant is a little all over the place, and I would like to codify my thoughts just a little bit on that. But to move on here, I did want to talk about Beckham, and if he does come back to MLS, as the Galaxy say that he will, what that would mean for both him and for American soccer, for his legacy, for his persona, and his reputation, or whatever you want to call it. There's a couple of different factors at play here. If he comes back, some of them are pretty interesting to think about. The MLS is trying to make sure that the rest of the world doesn't take them for pushovers, and I can understand that to a certain extent. MLS can't afford to become the whipping boy of the rest of the world when it comes to young, well, not young in this case, in Beckham's case, but when it comes to talent and buying talent. If European clubs are allowed to come to MLS and buy whatever talent they want, and the MLS may have done this with Sasha Kljestan, although I'm not sure that Celtic ever came in with a legitimate offer based on what the MLS valued Kljestan at. And that's really the issue, is MLS valuations, though they may be too high for their players, especially their American players, but even for Beckham, somebody that they brought in to be, as I've mentioned before, the Pied Piper of American soccer. If they value him higher than Milan does, then it's up to Milan to make the decision. If they don't believe that they can afford to pay what MLS wants, then there's no deal and Beckham returns. And that's the nature of business, and it's the nature of player transfers in the world. So if MLS rolls over for Milan because they're Milan, and I'm not sure that they would have done that anyway, but there was certainly the thought that that might be the case, and that they would roll over for Milan because they're Milan, then the MLS sets themselves up to be the whipping boy of the rest of the world for a long time to come. The second factor in Beckham's return that I talked about on the blog that I specifically wrote about is how this turns Beckham into the villain. This makes Beckham an evil guy in the eyes of MLS fans. He's already made comments that have pissed some people off. I didn't necessarily take them to be as derogatory as some people did, but I can see where that viewpoint comes from. But he's certainly become a villain now, and if he does come back to MLS, and when the Galaxy go on the road all over MLS, there's going to be a lot of a lot of booing in the stands. It'll be interesting. It's possible. I'd have to think about this a little bit more to get my thoughts together on it. But it's possible that the net effect could be a good one for MLS. If people come out to boo Beckham, that's just as good as if they came out to cheer him. They still have to buy a ticket to do it. And if people watch on TV to see what Beckham does, how he plays, how he responds, that's another win for MLS. So there may not be a negative in terms of business on MLS's side. Now there's a negative for the Galaxy because they're bringing back an unhappy player, and an unhappy player that eats up so much of their salary that they can't put a competitive team on the field, and they have other issues that they need to think about when it comes to bringing him back. So they may not want to bring him back. They may want to sell him, but are either doing what they're doing and saying what they're saying just to make sure that it's clear they're not going to be forced into making a bad deal. There's some other issues, there's some other factors at play there. But there's a chance that they realize that selling Beckham is the right thing to do, and that it might happen still. So the third thing that could have come out of the Beckham deal, that I thought might come out of the Beckham deal, was Landon Donovan. It might be easier for the Galaxy to sell Donovan if they were able to sell Beckham to Milan, especially if at a good price, and if they got a good return in terms of allocation dollars. But they're making comments that they expect Donovan to return as well, and that may be part of that same hard line, just putting up a front forward the rest of the footballing world that they're not going to be pushed when it comes to selling their talent just because Bayern and Milan come calling. So we'll see what happens with Donovan. I still think that if they sell Beckham, it'll be easier to sell. If they bring Beckham back, it'll be easier to sell Donovan, just because you won't need any star power to put butts in the seats for Donovan. And the negative aspect of Beckham becoming the villain may put butts in the seats anyway if he comes back. So the fourth thing, something I mentioned and something that's fun to think about, is the mea culpa that we can expect from Beckham if he does come back. You know, it's part of his persona and part of his image that he makes it. He always says the right thing. He's very coiffed in that regard. He's very put together, I don't know that he's coached necessarily. I'm not privy to that, but it's possible. And you expect him to come back. And when he shows up for that first press conference in front of a room full of reporters, who not all of them will be soccer reporters, that'll be clear. I think probably, you know, TMZ will have somebody in the room. It's going to be interesting to see what he says, to see how he looks, to see how he responds to any criticism he might get, and what the Galaxy do to back him up. And because of the, if Beckham, we've heard that Beckham can get out of this deal at the end of 2009, that if the Galaxy just want to bring him back to bring him back because the deadline has passed, or whatever the case may be, they don't think Milan's stepping up to the plate like they should, then Beckham's going to be gone at the end of the year anyway. We'll see. Have to see how vehemently the Galaxy defend their player. And the fifth thing, it's something that I'm going to get tired of. I know I'm already tired of it, and it hasn't even happened yet, is the effort level. Beckham's effort level, if he does come back, when he plays, the pundits and the bloggers and everybody who has an interest in the Beckham story, in soccer in this country, in the Galaxy, in MLS, in all of those different things, they're going to be watching Beckham closely to see how he plays, to see what kind of effort level he's putting in. If it becomes a situation where Donovan is gone, it's going to be rough for Beckham. It's going to be rough for the Galaxy. If Donovan comes back and Beckham comes back, they can still create a little magic between them, depending on whether or not Beckham's head is completely in playing for the Galaxy. It's hard to believe that that would be possible with the way that he has talked about Milan and talked about staying in Milan, and especially with South Africa coming up next year and his desire to be in that team for England, and how playing for the Galaxy might affect his place in that team. Fabio Capello has come out with comments as well that indicate that he would rather Beckham be at Milan if Beckham's going to play for England. So we'll have to see what the fallout is for that. For that part of the deal as well, and what Beckham, how Beckham plays, and how he looks, and how engaged he seems. All right, let's taking a look at some of the headlines. I'm gonna go ahead and take a little break. Come back and do a Media Watch segment.
MatchFit USA Media Watch.
Okay, those of you that have been following the blog know that last week, leading up to USA Mexico, I attempted to do a Media Watch series 1, 2, and 3, starting on Monday, leading into USA Mexico, just as an exercise in attempting to see what kind of coverage the mainstream sports media was giving to the game. I mean, it's one of the best rivalries in sports, not only in this country, obviously in Mexico as well, but not just in soccer. It's one of the best rivalries we have in America, period. And I thought I'd take a look at some of the mainstream media outlets and see how they were covering it, and they didn't. Essentially, I got through Media Watch number 1. I posted a little bit about what ESPN, SI, CBS, and Fox were doing each for that day for the game, and there really wasn't anything. I think I had a couple of things there. I don't know the specifics, but there were a couple of things, but nothing major. Obviously, ESPN's the only one that was pushing the game in any regard, and they didn't enough. And what they had on their website was pathetic. Unless you went to SoccerNet, and unless you're a soccer fan, you're not going to go to SoccerNet. They didn't have anything. So I was frustrated. I did a number 2. I think there was even less on the second day, if that's believable. I didn't find it. I mean, I couldn't believe that was the case. There was just absolutely no build-up for this game. And by the time I got to Wednesday, the day of the game, I didn't want to bring myself down by trying to find out if any of these guys were actually covering the damn thing. I mean, there wasn't anything, there was no stories on the front page of any of the websites about what was probably the biggest game of that day, or one of the biggest games of the day in sports in general. I mean, people would argue about UNC and Duke, and that's fine. I mean, that's a great rivalry, and people love basketball, and I don't expect anything different from the people that care about college basketball. But you can't tell me that USA Mexico wasn't in the top five, and it didn't even make the headlines for the day. And let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. This is not from my blog. This is from my friend Brian's blog, houseofsoccer.blogspot.com. Go check it out. On the day of the game, February 11th, Brian posted to his blog that the headlines on ESPN.com, if you go to ESPN.com, you'll see them to the right of the main graphic. The headlines on the day, at 12:23 p.m. is the time he notes. There are 11 headlines, I believe. None of them about soccer, obviously. I mean, we wouldn't be talking about it if they were, because it wouldn't be indicative of anything bad on ESPN's part. And it obviously was, because there was no attempt to make the game a headline. And it certainly was for soccer fans. I can't imagine that it wouldn't be for some casual sports fans who might get into the rivalry just because of the intensity. So 11 headlines. None of them soccer, none of them USA-Mexico, two of them related to finger injuries for two different people in what could generously be called fringe sports. The first one is somebody, I think JJ, I'm not sure who that is, I'm not a NASCAR fan, but won't wear a finger brace in the Daytona qualifier. Not even for the race, not even for the main race itself, for the qualifier. Let me repeat that. JJ won't wear a finger brace in Daytona qualifier was a top headline on ESPN.com the day of USA-Mexico. Another story about somebody's a finger. Thumb surgery knocks Vaughn out of giant slalom. Obviously a skier. I don't know who Vaughn is. I don't know that any American sports fan, casual American sports fan, would know who Vaughn is unless they're a skiing fanatic, and I don't even know any skiing fanatics. So two stories about finger injuries to two athletes in sports, like I said, generously, they could be called fringe sports. And maybe soccer's a fringe sport as well, but we're talking about a game, not a couple of fingers, owies, you know. Put a Band-Aid on my finger and go drive a car or ski down a slalom. I'm not minimizing the sports, I'm just frustrated, and obviously so was Brian. Here's his comment on these headlines. He says, "Is this a joke? Is this supposed to be funny? I think I have a decent sense of humor, but really? Does the status of a NASCAR driver's finger seriously outweigh the newsworthiness of a celebrated soccer rivalry that will commence in less than 12 hours? Holy crap." That's right. Holy crap indeed. The second one, the skier, his comment, two finger injuries are apparently more significant than USA-Mexico. I think I may just boycott ESPN.com for the next 48 hours. And I'm not sure that he did, and I know I didn't. I can't avoid ESPN.com, especially since, I'm trying to make sure that there's some kind of soccer coverage that I can get to, easily. SoccerNet's got a lot of information, so... But I just wanted to highlight Brian's blog as an indication of the problems that exist for American soccer in terms of media coverage and what the battle is. For those of us that are interested in having the game grow here, we believe, I believe that the casual sports fan would become more interested in the game if it was only put in front of them more often. There's a lot of haters out there, those people that'll badmouth soccer at every turn, and there's not much we can do about them. But I know there's a lot of people that are ambivalent about the game right now, that given the chance and shown either good quality soccer, and you can argue about MLS being good quality soccer, but, it's still professional level soccer. Those people being shown that or given some indication that there are intriguing storylines to follow. I mean, storylines draw viewers to a lot of different sports. So we need to have some kind of push here, and I'm not sure how to make it happen. Maybe Brian and I put our heads together and see if we can't knock those finger injury stories off the top of ESPN.com the next time a big USA match comes around. I'm sure the only time that an American soccer match will make the headlines for ESPN.com is if Beckham returns and when the Galaxy play their first match, and he's in the starting lineup. That'll be the only time that soccer will make ESPN.com's main page. So that is Media Watch for now. Let's move on.
MatchFit USA Media Watch.
Okay, last segment for podcast number one, MatchFit USA. I'll repeat the website address just in case you haven't got it already. MatchFitUSA.blogspot.com. In this last segment, I wanted to talk about a couple of things that I'm thinking about writing. I don't promise to write them, but they're definitely on my mind. They're things that I think are worth discussing going forward. As MLS approaches and as the launch of the WPS approaches, I know people, and they'll remain nameless for the purpose of this podcast. But I do know people that are excited about WPS. I unfortunately am not one of them. I don't have anything against women's soccer. I'm happy and proud to know that the U.S. women's national team is one of the best in the world on a consistent basis. I think that's great. But my problem with women's soccer, well, first, I just don't have any interest, and I'm not going to make any apologies for that. I think that's just, you know, my personal taste as a guy. I can see the appeal, especially to the millions of girls that play soccer in this country, and to women in general. But I think I have a bit of a problem with WPS, and I'm not advocating that it doesn't happen or that women's soccer in the United States goes away, but I will say that I think that to a certain extent, the women's game has an adverse effect on the men's game in this country, meaning that I think there's a segment of sports fans out there, and male sports fans for the most part, who view soccer as less than worthwhile and not worth their time because of the reflection that the women's success, the American women's success, has put on the game. It's not fair for them to say this, but and I'm definitely not one of them. But I think there are certainly men out there who believe soccer to be a women's game because the only major international success by any American soccer team is by the women. Brandi Chastain and the shirt and the sports bra and everything, that's become iconic. And I think that while that's, like I said, always, that's all fantastic, especially for the women's game, for the development of the women's game, for the launch of the new WPS after some failed attempts, I think that it's unfortunately caused a lot of men to rethink, not to rethink, to never think about soccer as a serious sport. That's a sexist attitude. It's a chauvinistic attitude, but it pervades American culture. I'm sure it pervades other cultures, but it pervades American cultures, American culture definitely, without a doubt in my mind. And like I said, unfortunately, it's what keeps a lot of potential soccer fans from the game. Now, there's no solution to that. And not, like I said, I'm not advocating that women's soccer go away in any sense, and I don't begrudge professional women players from having their own league. And if the investors in the WPS believe it can be successful, then more power to them. I have been offered, like I said, I do know somebody excited about WPS, and I've been told that tickets will be waiting for me if I decide to go and take in a game for, I believe, the Boston club. I don't know. We'll be doing that anytime soon. I might check it out just to see what's going on. But like I said, not enamored necessarily with WPS or with women's soccer in general. And I think it's unfortunate the effect it's having on the potential for the game to grow on the men's side or in the not to step on any toes, but on the big money side. So It's something that I'm thinking about. I may write a piece about that. I may not, but it's on the top. It's, you know, it's in the back of my mind. Something else that I wanted to mention that is important, I think, for MLS specifically, but for American soccer in general, is the upcoming round of the CONCACAF Champions League. Houston Dynamo, the only remaining MLS side in the competition. I believe they've got a match. They have matches coming up at the end of the month, 24th, I think is what I saw the promo for. I'm going to take a look at that while we're talking here. But the success of the Dynamo, I think, is crucial to not the long term success of the league, because I don't know that that's necessarily important. If it's going to ruin the league if the Dynamo fare poorly in this next round. But I think it's important in terms of MLS's standing, not only in the region but around the world. If the Dynamo can't make it through this round and kind of save the honor of MLS, I'm not sure that the rest of the world is ever going to take, at least for the time being, take MLS seriously. That's unfortunate. So I think it's crucial that the Dynamo go deep into this round. They have the quarterfinals against Atlante. I believe that starts February 24th. That's a two-legged series. So the Dynamo will have an opportunity to farewell, to do some damage. There's two. Amazingly enough, there are two USL sides still in CONCACAF Champions League, the Puerto Rico Islanders and the Montreal Impact. And I think I read somewhere that the Impact have sold something like 55,000 tickets for their home match against. Let's see, who is that against? I can't remember who the first side that they take on. The Impact have done something that I'm not sure any American side could do, reaching this point. I'm fairly certain that the Dynamo will not sell 55,000 tickets, for their first leg against Atlante, or I'm sorry, against their home, for their home leg against Atlante, which is sad, and I don't know if that says more about the Canadian attitude towards soccer or the French-Canadian attitude towards soccer, or if it says more about the American lack of interest. From what I've seen on television, that's my only experience with Houston's supporters. They seem like engaged, passionate supporters, but it does not ever seem that like there are that many of them. I know that they're in an interesting stadium situation as well, so that may have an impact on it, but I don't know. I think their fans still show up. I hope that they draw better. I hope they draw fairly well for the Champions League. I'd hate to have to watch a Champions League game with nobody in the stands when the Dynamo take on Atlante. The Dynamo are at home in the first leg, and the Impact, like I said, are at home in their first leg. Unfortunately, the CONCACAF Champions League website is difficult to navigate. So I am going to try to take a look here. I think that Santos, yes, the Impact plays Santos at home in their first leg. It's going to be tough for the Impact to get through, but you know, I'm rooting for them not because, I'm rooting for them because they're in USL. I'd like to see USL do well. I don't have anything against them, and the fact that MLS sides, while it doesn't look good for MLS sides to be unable to qualify for the championship round of the Champions League, while two USL sides do, I think it's definitely an indication that the depth that's available to MLS sides is not sufficient enough to do battle on all these different fronts. I know that DC United have had some issues in that regard, and Tom Soane made some comments to that effect last year when United were taking on many different competitions. So let's see what Dynamo can do. I will be pulling for them. I hope that most MLS fans will be, and I may have some commentary on that in the not-too-distant future. So with that, I'm going to sign off and close out MatchFit USA podcast number one. I hope to be back to do this on a regular basis if this is well received. And not going to be the most professional thing in the world. I'm trying, though. I am. I'm trying. So I'd like to hear some feedback. You guys have some things you'd like to say. Now, I will say that before I go, I'd like to say that doing this solo is a lot more difficult than I thought it would be to come up with the right topics and things to talk about. So it's an ongoing developmental process down the road. If MatchFit USA itself can continue to get bigger and better, I may try to pull in some additional help, because I think it'd be a lot easier to do this with two people than one, just because the conversation would make it nice and smooth. So, but anyway, I hope you enjoyed MatchFit USA podcast number one. With that, I will sign off and see you next week.
Bradley's in there. Back post area, Donovan, right across. Knocked in. USA has scored. Skill tackle away, advantage ball. Donovan running against Galindo. Dempsey joins. Bradley played it back smartly. Michael Bradley.
He tags it. Michael Bradley's got two.
MatchFit USA, examining the state of American soccer.